Well, good morning, everybody. We got a good Sunday school crowd this morning. I praise the Lord for that. Thankful for everybody that come out. Been a tough week, but God's still good, isn't it?
That's
right. So I'm thankful for that. We're still over in the book of Psalm, chapter 23, and down about verse number 5. We'll just read the last two verses here. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so, I'm really thankful for this passage, and man, it's been such a blessing to me. As I was looking this and just reviewing again last night, the question came to my mind, and I'll just give you this question. Just think about this. But as you look back through Psalm 23, and I probably ought to wait till the end, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to give it to you. But as you look through the Psalm, Brother Kevin, what I find is that really the psalmist, David, is doing nothing. I mean, that's the reality of this passage. And all he's doing, Dustin, is he's just being a sheep.
Right.
That's all he's doing. And as he's a sheep and he's watching and got his eyes on the shepherd, all he sees is everything that the shepherd is doing.
Right.
And he's overwhelmingly blessed because of what he's noticing that the shepherd is doing. And so as I thought on that, the question just came to my mind, says, what gives us right to such benefits?
Go ahead. Hey.
Do you ever think about that when you read the scriptures and you read about how good God is and all the things that God does and all that He is as a shepherd? Do you ever just sit back and think, Brother Jerry, I do not deserve any of this? I mean, really, we don't deserve any of this. David did not. I mean, you know what David's life was. He was a good man, but man, he did some bad things. And some things that if he was caught today, what would happen to him? He'd be put in the pen for life. At the best, he was still a scoundrel. And every one of us are the same.
You're right.
And man, if we got what we deserved, what would we all be?
Oh, yeah.
We'd be in hell today.
Yeah.
At best, we'd be in jail.
Go ahead.
But either way, we all deserve it.
Yep.
But then, as I ask myself, what gives me right to all these benefits? The benefits that we've been reading about having the Lord as our shepherd. How that He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside those still waters. He restores my soul. All those things. The benefits of not having to fear any evil. Knowing that He's with me. What gives us that right? And the only thing that I could find that gives me right is the fact that there was one day that He made me a sheep. And really, Jesse, I didn't have anything really to do with that other than I just heeded to the call of God. He went out of His way to get me, and He went out of His way to get you, and you have no part in the fact that you have all these benefits. If that is not mercy, and if that's not grace, I don't know what is. And so I'm just thankful that God loved us that much. Don't ask me why. I can't tell you why. I don't know why. That's just the truth of it. And that's what's so good about it. If we had an answer, it wouldn't be near as good. But the very fact that I can say, why does He love me, and I have no answer, that's what makes God so good. And so, we love Him because He first loved us. But if I turn that around, Joe, and said, He loves me because, I can't finish it. I can't finish it, Kevin. Why? is thank the Lord. I mean, really, that's all we can do. And so I probably should have waited to the very end of all this to do that, but last night as I was just reviewing, that hit me, and I thought, you know, what a blessing that God loves me and He loves you, and we can't do anything to get in on this thing other than just trust Him. It's the only thing we can do. And so we've been looking at this verse number 5 as David's watching, and once again, he is directly talking to the Lord. As you notice in verse number 5, he says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And we looked at there a few weeks ago on his preparation that God makes for us. And so I want to focus today on that table. It says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And so last week we started looking at his provision and the table that he sets before us, and how that God always provides and he's faithful. And we read over in Romans 8:32 how that man, if he spared not his own son, how much greater can we expect that he will give us all things, anything that we need. If he didn't hold back the best,
what
would make us ever think that he wouldn't give us whatever else that we need? And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying, I believe, over in Romans 8:32. And so that's where we wrapped up last week. But as we come to this verse, and he says, Thou preparest a table before me. I started thinking about that word before. And really, when you look it up, there's basically two meanings that could fit this passage. One, before, like if I showed up before you did, what would that mean? I got here ahead of you. That could be a definition that we could put, that David said, hey, before I ever got there, you were preparing a table. And that can be true. And I believe that is true on many occasions. But as I read and I prayed about this and asked the Lord, what do I feel like based on the context you're really saying? I don't really think that definition necessarily fits.
Right.
But I think the other definition, when we say before me, I think, Joe, what that's saying is he's doing it right in front of him.
Yes. Sure.
Because he looks at him, he says, Thou preparest. That means actively doing that. And he says, before me. So he's talking in the presence of the Lord because he's saying, Thou preparest a table before me. So he says, Lord, right here, as I look around and I'm surrounded by enemies, he says, right in front of me, you are working and you're preparing a table.
Yes.
Does it ever seem like that's the place to eat, is right there in front and in the presence of your enemies? No, but still yet, God was preparing a table. And so that's what I think. So that word before can mean in front of, or in the presence of, or proceeding in time or order. But I think what he's meaning is, Lord, you're doing this right in front of my eyes.
Right.
I'm beholding you doing this work. And I'm thankful that there's times that even in my life, before my eyes, Kevin, I've been able to see the Lord working.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of those times have been right here when I didn't think God was working. Man, right before my eyes, I got to see it work.
Yep.
And I appreciate that. But there's times we don't see it, right? We don't always get to see God doing things.
You're right.
Sometimes He's doing things in the background, doing things that we don't ever realize. And I'm thankful for that too. And I just trust that He's always doing something. So both are true. Sometimes He's doing things ahead of us. But here, I think what he's saying is right in his presence, he's doing this work. He's preparing this table. And as we said, this table, when you read about the table, what you're really thinking of, or what ought to be thinking of, is whatever provision that you need at that time. And, you know, it just messes with me, honestly, as I think about this, that he's doing this in the presence of his enemies. But I got to wondering, you know, why is he preparing a table in the presence of his enemies? And the only thing that could really come to my mind was that God will get a whole lot more glory preparing a table in the worst of circumstances.
Yeah.
than he would if everything was so good.
That's right. Sure.
And so sometimes God waits to do things. He could have prepared a table with him before he ever got in the presence of his enemies, right? I mean, usually you prepare, you eat before you go, right? But in this case, he showed up for the battle, and God provided the table there.
Hey.
But God gets the glory when he comes in like that at just the right time, such as when the enemy has you surrounded. And there are times in each of our lives, I believe that, man, we think, God, you're not going to do anything. God, are you going to do anything? Where are you at, Lord? And Brother Nathaniel, sometimes we get to the point where we feel like we are surrounded before we see God work. And I mean, just the story of Lazarus we talked about. I mean, it had got overwhelmingly bad in that situation.
Yes, sir.
Their brother had died. And the Lord still had not showed up.
Yep.
But would you agree that he was still right in the nick of time?
Yep.
He waited till the time was right. And so I'm thankful for God's timing. And it's not my timing. It's usually never my timing, it don't seem like. But so
that's right.
So we'll get into more of this as we go on. But as I pondered on this passage and thought about this table, you know, my mind automatically went to all the tables that I find in the New Testament that the Lord himself provides or takes heavy part in. And, you know, I always like to ask questions. So I asked this question, how do I know, you know, the Lord provided a table for David, right? But David's way up here. And I think, you know, when I read something about David and the faith that he had, Matt, I put myself way down here. David's way up here. Paul's way up here, right? Elijah's way up here. All these men that we see in the Bible are way up here. And I'm thankful for those Samsons, Kevin. That makes me feel like, well, maybe I'm not the worst of the worst, but I'm pretty bad. But what makes me know that just as he prepared a table for David, what makes me think that he'll prepare one for me?
Yes.
These are the questions that I ask myself when I read these things, because I recognize that I'm nothing. And so I can see him preparing one for a man that was after his own heart. Can't you? Somebody that would stand up against a giant and say, is there not a cause?
Right.
I don't care to fight him. I killed the lion. I killed the bear. No problem. I just trust the Lord and go on. I'm not always like that. Is anybody else in here? You always like that? I'm not. And so I asked myself, well, what makes me think that God will provide one for me? And so I said, well, Lord, who all did you provide them for? I want to find out. And so I started looking. Turn with me to Matthew 14. Y'all should know most of these stories. Very familiar. There's nothing real deep right here. You just get to see how my mind works. But in Matthew 14, what we find is the story of the feeding of the 5,000 beside the women and children. But look with me at verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give them to eat. And so they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they all did eat, or they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So I want you to notice the people. You know, usually when we look at this, we're looking at the Lord, or we're looking at the place, or we're looking at the disciples, or we're looking at the fish. But look at the people in the story. What do we know about the people? Well, when you start reading this, it says Jesus departed. You notice how he got where he was going? It says he departed thence by ship. You see that? Into a desert place apart. And when the people heard thereof, how did they follow? So the Lord got on a ship to go to wherever he was going. But those people that heard where he was going, they couldn't get on the ship. They said, that's all right. We'll just follow on foot.
Yep.
So I want you to notice that first of all here, because they were willing, God provided a table for them. They didn't know a lot, but they knew where the Lord was at. That's where they needed to be. And, you know, that blessed my heart because there's times that, man, I don't know the answers.
Right.
But I know the right one.
Yep.
And I know where to get the answers. And so if I can get to Jesus,
hey,
if I'm just willing to get to Him, He can meet my need.
Sure He can.
And that's, if you find that, when you read this passage, that's exactly what happened to these people. They said, we can't go the way He went, but we're going to get to Him on foot. And He got there, and guess what He did? They got there, and He had compassion on them. And all they were was a bunch of willing people. They were willing to get to Him. And there's times in my life I don't have anything except for a desire to get to Him. I ain't got nothing else to offer.
Oh, yes. Thank God.
But I'm just willing. And man, if we just be willing, God will prepare a table for us. He did for these people. And if he'll do it for them, He'll do it for us. All I find is they're willing. But look with me over in the next chapter, Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 32. It says, then Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And His disciples say unto Him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to His disciples. And the disciples took the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And so once again, we find a group of people that the Lord has compassion on and provides a table for.
Right.
Now, what do you notice that Jesus said about these people? He says, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way.
Yep.
He said, these people are not only willing. He said, now I've got a bunch of weary people. That he knew they couldn't make that journey. He said, they've come so far, and they've not had what they need at this point. You know, if they leave now, they can't make it, Adam. But they were weary, and He knew they were weary. Now, they were weary for a good reason. They'd been following the Lord. He said, because they're weary, I'm going to prepare them a table. And so He fed these people. So now He's fed the willing and He's fed the weary. Now, there's been some times in this thing, I don't know about you, but I've got tired a few times. And, man, Adam just trying to do the right thing, just over and over and over, just trying to do right, be faithful. There's times I just get weary. And just to be honest, there's times I get hungry.
Sure.
And guess what I found? When I continue to be willing, even when I get weary, He's still faithful to feed me.
Hey, sure.
Now, I'm not talking about physical food. I hope y'all understand that. But He's always faithful to provide that too. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. He provided these people physical food. But spiritually, I need food. And there's times that I'm weary. And there's times, if you're honest, if you're in this way for very long, you'll get weary too. You'll need help. And guess what happens? The Lord's right there to help. And I'm thankful for that. What about over in Matthew 26? Matthew 26, we could turn back to John chapter 12 and John chapter 13. We could find very, very familiar passage. And what we know is the disciples have just started learning, Kevin. I mean, really, they're just piecing things together. And, you know, up to this point, it's my understanding in Scripture that I believe the disciples thought the Lord was coming. And, you know, John was out preaching. He said, what? The kingdom of heaven's at hand.
That's right.
He said, the kingdom's coming. I'm here to prepare the way for the king. And so when these disciples found the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, they said, the kingdom's here.
Yep.
We're ready to crown Him king and go on. But all of a sudden, Jesus starts revealing to them that things aren't going to play out like what they were anticipating. And in John chapter 12 and 13, you know, 13's the Passover feast. But He starts telling them that, you know, I think it's John chapter 12 where He says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die by the alone. And what He's talking about is Himself, Kevin.
He's
revealing to His disciples that, hey, I've got to be lifted up in order to be glorified. And I think what happened was some fear started gripping the hearts of the disciples for the first time. But let's read here in Matthew 26, verse 21. It says, and as they did eat, and as I said, this is the Passover, the last Passover feast. He said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? And He answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of Him. So He's referring to being led away, being given up to be crucified. He says, but woe unto him, unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed.
Right.
It hath been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas, which betrayed Him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to His disciples and said, take, eat, this is My body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You understand the heaviness of what He's telling them? He's literally revealed to them that He's dying. And He's telling them, this is My blood that's going to be shed. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so we've found that the Lord will provide a table for the willing and a table for the weary. But what I find here is a bunch of worried disciples.
Right.
They are fearful. You read all the Gospels, what you find is they start getting fearful at this point. And to the point that when Jesus said that one of them was going to betray Him, what did all of them ask? Lord, is it I?
Yep.
I think at this point in their ministry, in the Lord Jesus' ministry specifically, I think the disciples, I don't know, I just get the sense that They were confused and perplexed, and they just really didn't know what was about to happen.
Sure.
And you can understand that, right? I mean, the person that you've been following for 3 years, thinking he's going to be king, tells you, I'm getting ready to die. And I don't know that they knew what to think. From what I read, I honestly don't think they did. They just knew it wasn't going to be what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Peter thought everything was going to be all right, didn't he? He said, oh, Lord, I'll fight for you to the end. Lord said, yeah. Yeah, you will. But, man, these disciples were worried. They said, is it I?
Yes.
They got unsure. I think they were sure. And their faith was building. And things were getting better. And they were getting stronger. You remember how the disciples came back that one time and said, Lord, we've got power over the demons. I mean, over the spirits, right? Man, we can heal.
Yes.
We can do all these things. The Lord was increasing their faith. But now all of a sudden, the bomb was dropped. The Lord's going to die. And they're worried. And we see that with the responses that they give the Lord. You ever been worried? Anybody in here been worried this week? Some people, we let it consume us, don't we? And we got to be real careful. But I'm thankful that the Lord can provide a table even for the worried. Even for the worried. Look over at John 21. John 21. So what we find is that, you know, we had a bunch of people that were willing, and we know that because they followed him. We had a bunch of weary people because he said they were going to faint. We have a bunch of worried people because we learned that they were fearful. But then in John 21, what we find is a fella that has been wounded. And we find that out because he's going fishing. And so in John 21, verse 2, it says, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. This is right after, you know, the Lord had risen. He'd showed himself to them. And you'd think Peter'd be excited about it, right? But Brother Rick, I think he was hurt more than you and I could ever know at this point. And he was ready to just throw in the towel and say, the Lord's done with me. He says, I go fishing. And so Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus.
That's right.
Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he didn't even recognize the Lord. You notice that. It was John that recognized him. He girt his father's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. Notice this. And fish laid thereon in bread.
That's right.
That was not the fish that the disciples caught.
Praise God.
They brought some fishes, but the Lord did not need their fishes to feed them. You notice that. So Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. You know, they say the third time's a charm, right? This one was special to Peter. And if you read the rest of the passage, you'll know what I'm talking about. So what you find is that you know, Peter's been down to this point because he betrayed the Lord. But yet, man, he gets a new commission from the Lord the latter part of John 21. And so what we have here is a wounded disciple.
Yep.
And if you know your scripture at all, you understand what I'm saying. He's wounded. He's hurt. He's been in the battle, Nathaniel. Like you and I have never faced. I mean, the truth be told. I mean, he lost it. The one that he had all his faith in was just delivered to be crucified. And he was worried for his life. And so we look down on him a lot at times, but we got to be real careful. I've never been there. Have you? Has anybody ever been there where somebody, you knew if you told somebody who you were, what was probably going to happen? He's a big man, Nathaniel. And so let's not be too hard on him. The Lord wasn't too hard on him, was he? The Lord saw him as a wounded disciple that he loved. And he wanted to make it a point to feed his soul. And, you know, them disciples, John, probably thought, the Lord's got us all these fishes, and we're going to go up here and we're going to have us a feast. But can you imagine when they got there and they were dragging all them fish up and they look over on the fire and saw all them fish the Lord was already cooking? They thought, man, the Lord, he don't need us. He don't need us for nothing. And he don't need you and he don't need me. But he cared about his wounded disciple, that wounded sheep. Ain't that a blessing?
Yes, sir.
And so he prepared a table for the wounded. And so we'll move on quickly. I want you to look lastly over at Revelation 19. Revelation 19.
God.
So, you notice he said that he wasn't going to take the fruit of that vine, Brother Kevin,
hey,
at the Last Supper until he did it again with them in his kingdom, right? But what we get to see here, well, I'll just read it. In Revelation 19, verse 6, this is John. What John's seeing. It says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clothed white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So what we see here is we find the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride has made herself ready. And so the last thing that we find is that he provides a table for the willing, a table for the weary, a table for the worried, a table for the wounded. But there's going to be a day he's providing a table for a wedding.
That's right. Hey.
But I want to say this. You notice we've been looking at the people, right? People. So the willing, We knew they were willing because they followed. The weary, we knew they were weary because they were faint. We knew that the disciples were worried because it says they were fearful. In John 21, we knew that Peter was wounded because he went back fishing. But what about right here? Who are the people that he's providing for? What does it say in verse number 7? It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come." And it says, "And his wife hath made herself ready."
Yep.
What we find is this table is prepared for only those that are fit for it.
That's right.
How do you get fit for this one? You got to be part of the bride of Christ.
Amen.
You got to be part of the bride. But if you're part of the bride, you're a sheep and you're fit. And he's going to make you ready one of these days. So I'm thankful that the Lord, no matter where you find yourself, and this is not an exhaustive list, I hope y'all understand, but no matter where you find yourself today, across the spectrum, wounded, worried, whatever, God will provide a table for you.
Oh, yeah.
And he's faithful to do so. But that's just a look at who he will provide it for. Where are we at on time? I got 3 minutes. Well, I don't want to continue. I don't want to get started in the next part then. Next time we'll look at the presence of the enemies. So we just looked at the table today. But I want you to be pondering on the presence of the enemies for next week. So I appreciate everybody's good attention. I hope that's a little bit of encouragement for you. That the Lord ain't forgot about you where you're at. If you'll get hungry, get willing, understand you're wounded, start looking to Him.
Yeah, brother.
He'll prepare you a table.
Amen.
He'll take care of you.